Hi, my name is Steve Carlisle from Clearly Training, and this is the second in a two-part podcast on materiality. And in the first part, we looked at materiality in general, the general application of materiality. And the second podcast specifically focuses on the public sector and the use of materiality in the public sector. And by the way, if you haven't listened to the first podcast, I would advise you to go back and have a listen to that. So although we're aiming this podcast at a slightly higher level of understanding and appreciation, I think it'd be a good idea for you to have a listen to the first podcast. So what are the special considerations when we're thinking about materiality in the public sector? Well, first of all, public sector financial statements are often used by legislators and regulators, and therefore materiality measures will reflect their needs. So in the public sector, we have specific requirements for specific people, and we may indeed have a little bit more guidance on what those regulators or legislators mean by material, what their significance levels are, if you like. Secondly, we will, in the public sector, be looking at costs and basing our materiality, certainly in a financial sense, on total cost or net cost. And by net cost, I mean total cost less any revenues. Some parts of the sector, public sector, do receive revenues. For example, in a local authority planning department, there are revenues paid in, or in the local authority generally, revenues are paid in by the council tax and ratepayers. So we'll be looking at cost, total cost or net cost, in order to base our materiality, rather than looking at something like they do in the private sector, such as revenue. We might also, in the public sector, be basing our materiality in a financial sense on the value of the public assets held by the entity. It may be that we have some parts of the public sector that actually don't have a massive amount of revenue or expenditure during the year, but do hold large values of assets, and therefore materiality levels may be based on those large high-value assets. Other considerations that we might have in the public sector, well, sometimes there might be legal requirements concerning the entity that the auditor should consider in applying materiality. There might be some specific legal things that the entity has to do, and we need to be aware of those before we start reviewing the information and deciding on the materiality limits. Now, in the first of these materiality podcasts, I made a reference to Practice Note 10, or PN10 as it's known, which is a specific piece of guidance for public sector auditors. And Practice Note 10 requires auditors in the public sector to audit for what's called regularity. I put that in inverted commas, regularity. And what we mean by regularity is that we need to ensure that the organisation makes expenditure for valid reasons. And anything that isn't valid or isn't regular will be material. So to just give you a specific example, we would expect the Ministry of Defence not to spend money on building hospitals because that's not one of its targets. It's not one of the outputs that's required from the Ministry of Defence. Neither would we expect the Ministry of Defence to buy sofas for some military personnel's home. We might expect them to buy sofas for military accommodation that's provided to soldiers, but not for the home of, let's say, a colonel. So regularity is really important. It's an extra thing that you have to look for in the public sector to make sure that public money is being spent for the purposes that it was allocated. Any non-regular spending will be material. In other words, if you're reporting on the Ministry of Defence and you find that a sofa has been purchased for a colonel's personal residence, then you'll report on that, even if the sofa's £1,000, you know, in a multi-billion pound budget. You'll need to report on that in your regularity report, because you're reporting on something specific there within that organisation. So regularity is an extra consideration within the public sector. Another thing in the public sector, another factor that might affect your materiality levels, is that the public sector does lots of non-financial audits, or audits that may have financial elements to them, but also have a significant non-financial element as well. So, for example, you may have what we call value for money audits. Now, I have actually recorded a separate podcast on value for money audits, which you can listen to in full if you wish, but just briefly, a value for money audit would involve looking at three separate things. It would involve looking at economy, efficiency, and effectiveness. So just to give you a few examples of what each of those, what are called the three E's, mean. Economy would, for example, in a school, you might look at the payroll costs and you might compare the payroll costs this year for the teaching staff against the payroll costs last year for the teaching staff and see whether the costs have gone up or down significantly. You might also compare the costs of the teaching staff against another school, again, to see whether the costs vary significantly. Efficiency is measuring how well you've used your inputs to produce your outputs. So an efficiency measure, again, using the school example, might be something like how many days of teaching has a teacher carried out. So the teaching days, or possibly even the teaching hours per teacher. And you'd look at that ratio, that statistic from this year, and you'd compare it to previous years to see whether or not your teaching staff were being efficient. Into, you know, the more teaching days each member of staff did, the more efficient your organisation would be. And again, you could compare that to other similar schools. And lastly, we have effectiveness, and effectiveness is looking at your ability to achieve your outputs. And in a school, that would be measuring something like the pass rates for GCSEs. So a school is measured on how many A to C grades it gets at GCSE, and a target is to get 5 A to C grades per pupil at GCSE, and your school would be measured. That's a statistic that's well known. It's very commonly used by parents choosing schools for their children. That's an output measure. It measures how effective the school is. And again, you can compare it to previous years or similar schools in the same area. So a value for money audit covers what's known as the three E's: economy, efficiency, effectiveness. And again, as a reviewer of that information, you're going to have to set materiality levels. Now, a lot of that audit work is based on comparisons of this year to last year, and we would therefore need to look at perhaps percentage deviations to see whether or not we had a material error, whether or not we had something that needed investigating. We might also do it another way by, for example, picking a model organisation, let's say a model school, a high-performing school, and benchmarking our school that we were auditing, for example, against that model one. And that might be a way of achieving a materiality comparison, so that if we were different to the model school, if we were performing below the model school, then we might investigate or report on it. That might be a way of achieving materiality there. Secondly, we might have what we call compliance audits. And thirdly, we might specifically have reports on internal controls. So an example of a compliance audit is what I was just talking about with regularity, where you are auditing to see whether or not a specific set of rules has or hasn't been complied with. And as I mentioned there, it's often the case when you're auditing for compliance that any breach of the rules will be reported on because it's material. Now, compliance audits will differ from organisation to organisation. The generic compliance audit that all public sector organisations do is that regularity audit. The internal controls audit will be reporting specifically on internal controls and how they have been met during the period. So an internal control would be authorising purchase invoices, or an internal control would be to ensure that there was a correct hierarchy, a proper hierarchy, so that authorisation could take place within a particular department. So there's some specific issues that we have in the public sector. We do tend to have a wider range of reviews or audits carried out in the public sector. Not to say that they don't carry out, for example, value for money audits in the private sector, but they're part of the legislation that we need to audit for value for money in the public sector. So they're more common in the public sector. And I just wanted now to have a look at what your approach would be in order to set materiality in the public sector. So just specifically looking at the steps that you would take. So the first question you would ask yourself is, what are we measuring? What is it that we're measuring? What is it that we're assessing? The second question you would ask yourself is, what is the benchmark standard? What is the benchmark standard? What are we assessing ourselves against? The third question we would ask ourselves is, what level of deviation from this standard is acceptable and what level of deviation is unacceptable? And you really are then setting the materiality level by doing that. So that's when you're setting the materiality level. I should also say, of course, this all has to be done before you start your review. That was a point we made in the first podcast on materiality. You must set materiality right up at the front. So just a full example, we might, again, using the value for money example, we might be doing a value for money audit for a local authority waste collection service. We need to pick a benchmark authority to compare against. And once we've picked a benchmark authority, we need to know what level of deviation is okay. In my previous example with the school, I suggested that any deviation might be material. But that might be a little bit harsh if it's a model organisation that you're benchmarking against. So in this waste collection service example, we might say, well, as long as we're within, let's say, 10% of their performance levels, and of course, we'll be particularly concerned if we're more than 10% below their performance level. So as long as we're within 10%, we might say that's not a material deviation. And that example actually shows us as well that we could actually go to the person that we were reporting to and we could actually ask them to help us pick that materiality level. We could say to the person that we were reporting to, look, what level of deviation is acceptable? And they may very well say 10%. Yeah, we'd be happy as long as we were within 10% of the model organisation. So we would then go and set that materiality level based on the benchmarks of the model organisation. Okay, then, just to summarise, in the private sector, there does tend to be a focus on the financial materiality because the private sector is focused on its year-end financial statements being audited. The private sector has a legal requirement to have its year-end financial statements audited, as does the public sector, as do public sector organisations. Also in the private sector, audits consider materiality in the context of one main user, which is the shareholder. In the public sector, by contrast, audits can be both financial and non-financial, and there are legal requirements to do non-financial audits of things like regularity and value for money, as well as doing those financial audits, and that blurs this idea of materiality. There may also, in the public sector, be a range of different users, including legislators and regulators and the general public who may use the information that the public sector is producing. And there may also be additional legislative and regulatory requirements that we have in the public sector. And we mentioned that example of regularity earlier. So in general, the use of the concept of materiality is more complex in the public sector, but the process of picking a materiality level is the same. Same process, always decide your materiality level up front. Always pick a benchmark against which you assess materiality and always apply that throughout the work that you're performing. Okay, that's all for now. My name's Steve Carlisle from Clearly Training. Thanks very much for listening and goodbye.